when I was not going to be in town this week, Matthew was going to be the guy who preached, and he'll be the guy who preached here pretty soon. And when I ended up being back in town, I neglected to communicate with Matt. And so yesterday we communicated about whether he was still on, and he felt, and he was right. This is, I knew after we talked that I was supposed to do today. But I really, but of course with all that's been going on this week and preparing the day, spent a lot of my time trying to just prepare to know what to say today at the funeral. And I had this like several, this happened the last couple of weeks actually, I had several different options of things that I could share with you. One of them is a word that I've been kind of wanting to share for several weeks, but I can't just get release about it. And it was just a simple little thing, and part of it came out of a word I gave to somebody at one of our noon Eucharists. And so this morning I just jotted a couple of things down, and I said, that's the thing that's in my soul, but it's so simple. And I realized this morning, as I was just sort of standing around talking to the Lord, I told Olivia before I left, I said, Olivia, I just don't know if I have a word. I said, my heart really is this afternoon at 3:30. That's where I want to be. But I realized this simple word I'm going to give you is that those of you who we've walked together for a long time, you know that whenever I share or preside over a funeral, especially if it's somebody I know really well or have known for a long time, I really feel like part of my responsibility is to hear their heart. As we know, we celebrate during Easter that those who are believers who are now in heaven are really more alive than we are. And that I'm a mystic enough, I'm a charismatic enough to believe that they're able to somehow, some way communicate their heart to you. And so what I've spent the last couple of days is asking the Lord to communicate to me Mark's heart and at the funeral, a lot of times I'll share at least part of what he would like to say if he had a physical voice in which he could say it. But as I was pondering this little simple word this morning, it's like the Lord said that Mark wants to have something to say twice today. So this is just a word from someone. I believe it's the word of the Lord, of course, but I believe it's also Mark's heart. And I'll say some more things about Mark's heart a little more succinct this afternoon, knowing that there'll be some people there who don't know Jesus. And so I know where Mark's heart is beating, but this is Mark's heart, I believe, for us. And as I'll share this afternoon, I've known Mark since he was 12. And he's 42. And listen, I'm not the guy to use language like he was 42. Mark is still 42. And don't say things to me like, well, Mark really loved them. Mark still loves them. Mark is fully alive. He's been swallowed up by life. What we just know in part, he's experiencing in completion. And so I just want to communicate some things that I believe that the Lord said to me this morning. That's Mark's word for us today, that in a language that Mark would put it in. So it's really simple things. And when I was been thinking about this the last couple of weeks, not about Mark, of course, but this word I gave to this person, it's been kind of a foundational word. And elementary things are fundamental truths, foundational things. And these are foundational things that sort of sum up, in a lot of ways, theology, my theology, the reality of God. And I believe that when we see Him face to face, these realities explode. And we're going to say these things that on earth sounded so simple and so elementary. But when we get to see Him face to face for the first time, we'll understand how tremendously profound they always were. Okay? And it's real simple, three things I want you to hear. That I believe that one who's gone on before us, who knows in part what we only know, who knows in full what we only know in part. Now, who doesn't need our instruction anymore, we need His. Who doesn't need us to get him out of jams anymore, we need His prayers to help us get out of jams. Everything any of you who love Mark, who in raising him wanted him to get, trust me, he gets. And now he prays that you and I will get. And here's three simple things. One, I believe that Mark understands fully and wants us to understand that God loves. Two, heaven rules. And three, Jesus rocks. See, I believe that's even the language of a 42-year-old. There's a Psalm 83 that says this, and we could quote gazillion scriptures. We've talked about it over the years. Let me read this to you first, and then I'll, because see, I believe this is the ultimate reality of every person who knows Jesus, who goes to be with Him. And this is from Song of Solomon. It says, "My beloved says to me, arise, my darling and my beautiful one, and come along." See, we can talk about, and we like to ponder as human beings, all the ifs and ands and what was going on the night before and what happens. And all those things are true. That's part of our experience. But the reality is that the lover of his soul came to him and says, "Arise, my beautiful one." As much as Tommy and Sue cherish him. And I was thinking about watching them this week, because Thursday night, as you can only imagine, or Wednesday night, whatever the days run together, were, that was a rough evening. And and I kept thinking about my kids and thinking about, what if that was my boy? You know, and when you think about those things, I just kept thinking about how beautiful my boys are. And that's something I'd be saying, my boy. This is a crazy remembrance, but one of my favorite lines of the movie Godfather, one of the only reason I ever watched that movie on regular TV, is there's a line when his son, his oldest son, has been all shot up, and he goes to the funeral home to see if he can take care of him. And this Godfather, this really powerful man who lived a dangerous life and was a dangerous man all his life, looked at his son, Sonny, and said, "Look what they've done to my boy." I think that when I was watching them and then just being there with them, and of course they were brothers and sisters, and that family, 400,000 cousins and nephews and nieces and such, and it's a swarm of people that come. There were more people from the family there at the wedding room. It was the funniest thing. They come to the wedding room to try to tell us at 9 o'clock at night that only 4 people in the family can stay. And within 10 seconds of that conversation, they had totally given up that idea. But I remember I just kept thinking, they may not be saying these words, but Tommy and Sue are looking at him and going, "My beautiful boy." And I told him yesterday at the funeral home, I said, "You know, you gave birth to a pretty boy. Mark was a pretty boy." And Jesus came that evening at some point, began that morning, and said, "Arise, my beautiful boy, and come along." As much as those who loved him fiercely, there's one who loved him even more fiercely. And whose need of him in heaven is greater than our need for him on earth. And the first thing that Mark discovered fully, no matter how much you try to tell him, no matter how much we try to tell each other, no matter how many songs we sing about it. We sang that song this morning. I love that song. "Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me." What a remarkable song that is. No matter how much you ponder the love of Christ, no matter how much revelation you have of the love of Christ, no matter how much people speak to you about the love of Christ, no matter how many prophetic words you get about the love of Christ, no matter what you can say about the love of Christ or write songs about the love of Christ, until you meet him face to face and you're swallowed up by that immense heart that would pursue us so far and for so long to redeem us, who would pay such a sacrifice. What we know about the love of Christ and what those who've gone on before us know about the love of Christ is incomparable. The word smidgen would be too enormous a word to use what we understand about the love of God compared to those who see him face to face. And there's this wonderful verse in Psalm 83. I really believe the Lord just led me to this one in light of all the other million songs, verses we could read. "Oh God, do not remain quiet. Do not be silent, oh God. Do not be still. Behold, thine enemies make an uproar, and those who hate thee have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against your people and conspire themselves against thy treasured ones." That statement, "thy treasured ones." You know, one of my favorite things about having a grandson, this particular grandson, is that when Foster smiles, it's a whole body smile. And his face like goes all the way, arms and legs start going back and forth, but his eyes, I don't know if you ever noticed when Foster smiles at you, he doesn't just look at you, he cherishes you. there's like this love. One, he's not lived old enough to not trust, to be bitter, to be all those things that pile up in our fallen hearts. And there's just this cherishing. I feel treasured. And so one of the reasons, you know how we do with little ones anyway, we spend our whole time doing the craziest, dumbest things just to make them smile at you. Like we're some wind-up toy. And you make stupid noises, you do everything you can. But for him, it's so worth it because it's not just the reward of watching him smile. It's to see in him, because who's not been very removed. He's just 8 months old, so he's not very removed from the heart of God. And to see him treasure you with his eyes. You catch this little glimpse of someone who's just come forth from the heart of God, expressing the heart of God. And I can tell you something Mark's saying to us today. God doesn't just love us. He is love. God loves that. He treasures us. And there's no way in the world that we can comprehend all that means, though we rejoice in it. Because you see, it's the love of God that changes us. It's God's love alone that can change us. We can only be loved into transformation and new life. And I believe that's why when the Scripture says that when we see him face to face, we're totally changed and transformed in his image. Because for the first time, we meet his love head on without any filters. And it absolutely transforms us completely, like it does gradually while still here on earth. But see, we have to constantly battle through the filters of self-rejection, being rejected by others, shame and guilt, all the stuff we have to filter through, a fallen world. When you see him face to face, there are none of those filters, and the transformation is immediate. To look into the eyes of God, to begin the journey that never ends. See, people say, well, in the moment in heaven, you know everything. No, I don't believe that. I believe the love of God is unfathomable. I believe loving him is such a remarkable discovery. As I said to you last year, we talked about heaven. It's like falling in love for the first time and being fallen in love with for the first time and experiencing that moment like it was a new moment every moment for all of eternity. That's one of the things that's going to make heaven so wonderful, is that we encounter it in an unfiltered way. It transforms us, and then we're forever discovering how much he loves us. I think that's as simple as that sounds. Oh, by the way, that's how we also cooperate with God's transforming process with each other. If it's the love of God that changes us, and if only love can bring us into and forward into new life, then we become God's agent of transformation in the lives of others. By as much as we're able in this fallen humanity, being in union with the loving heart of Christ for them. And the fallen need us the most, right? The second thing I think that Mark would say, and this is one of the scriptures that we read this last week, actually, as part of the Old Testament readings in Daniel. And Daniel is speaking to Nebuchadnezzar and trying to explain to Nebuchadnezzar that God raised him up and God gave him great authority and power and splendor, but that Nebuchadnezzar had become proud, very proud of his power, proud of his splendor and proud of his wealth, and that God was going to humble him. And you know that he spent several years, God just making him, grew his fingernails really long. He went insane, ate grass. But at the end of a period of time, God restored him. After he humbled him, and he humbled him, and in the place of brokenness, he acknowledged who God was. I love this scripture. This has become one of my new favorite places, my new best friend in scripture. He says, "That you be driven away from mankind, your dwelling place be with the beasts of the field, and you be given grass to eat like cattle, and be drenched with the dew of heaven. And 7 periods of time will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. And in that it was commanded to leave the stump with the roots of the tree, and your kingdom will be reassured to you after you recognize that heaven rules. That's one of the most important things you'll ever get inside of you. It's one of the most foundational theological statements that you'll ever hear that affect your daily living, that'll bring an end to a lot of confusion and fear. Heaven rules. Sometimes it seems like the enemy's ruling, but heaven rules. Sometimes it seems like your life in the hands of other people, Beth, but heaven rules. Sometimes it seems like your life's in the hands of the judgment of other human beings who are fallen, but heaven rules. Times happen, things happen that don't make sense, but even when there are clouds and thick darkness, Mark would want you to hear, heaven rules. Mom, dad, family, get this. Heaven rules. What happened, happened because heaven rules. Do you have free will? If that's all you want to talk about is just free will, I guess we could talk about free will. But let me just say this to you. Heaven rules. Heaven rules. Now understand how this is. God loves. And that God who loves is the one who reigns in a heaven that rules. God loves me. And He treasures me. When He looks at me, He cherishes me. In my fallenness and when I fall, sometimes the cherishing and treasuring look in His eyes is even greater. Because He so longs for me to get up and succeed in my walk with Him. He loves me. And the one who loves me rules. It's really, I know that sounds so simple, doesn't it? It sounds so ridiculously elementary. But how many times we interact with each other and our fretting and our fearing and our confusion and our dreading and our worrying. And the real simple answer would be, heaven rules. Be at peace. Heaven rules. And the one who rules loves you. It really is going to be okay. Things aren't out of control. When I hear the news and tragic things happen around the world, heaven rules. Amazing story I heard. The testimony of one of my spiritual heroes is Mother Teresa. Her great love for people and for the most broken people in the world. She gave her life to cleansing lepers and caring for the dying and all her life. And she flew in a small plane once she got to Africa to Tanzania because they had a ministry compound there. And Mother Teresa was so famous that thousands and thousands of people came out to greet her. And some of the sisters that worked for her and lived in Tanzania as missionaries were there. And when the plane landed, and I landed at one place in Tanzania that was like on a little top of a hill. And we didn't stop too far from when the top of the hill started headed towards the bottom of the hill. And there were all these people gathered around. And her plane, as it got on the runway, skidded off the runway and ran into the people. And the propeller just destroyed a number of people plus several of her nuns. And of course, the people who were in the plane with her, they were all in shock and she was just stunned and her heart was broken. And all the drama that went on in the plane, and as she stepped out of the plane, just a few that standing around her could hear her whisper, "God wills." Heaven rules. And there are going to be a lot of things in your life and my life that we're not going to understand. But what we can understand is heaven rules. And the one who rules loves is love. Westerners want to make sense out of everything. And that's why we see so few miracles. Because we don't walk in a lot of faith. Because when you try to make sense out of everything, you end up in hurt and confusion. But the reality is, heaven rules. Let me just say this to you. And I know I keep using this phrase, but let one who now knows that without question be your teacher today. I envy Mark. He knows more than I could know in 1,000 lifetimes. Let me tell you one thing he knows, is that the King of Kings is on his throne and heaven rules. And that if people on earth could just figure that out, they wouldn't spend all their day long griping and complaining and criticizing and fretting. Heaven rules. That's a place of rest. But I think the thing, too, that Mark would say in the end to us in the language of his generation, and really the language of mine, too, is that Jesus rocks. He knows more than you and I will ever know that we should spend every day of our life with Christ being the number one thing we think of and go after. That we should spend our life, no matter what our vocation is, seeking Jesus with all our heart. That Jesus rocks and he makes sense of everything else in this life. And if you're pursuing pleasure outside of Christ, if you're pursuing things and stuff and relationships, and he wants you to know that Jesus rocks. Like nothing else rocks. Colossians says this: He is also the head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, and so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. And this is something I will say again this afternoon. I'm going to tell you one thing Mark wants to say to us, is that if we had a lick of sense, Jesus Christ would have first place in everything that you do. Because Jesus rocks. That life has no meaning, true meaning, apart from that. And to spend one day of your life with anything being more important to you than Jesus is a wasted day. Philippians chapter 3 says in verse 8, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus. And again, you know the word there means experiencing. There is nothing on this earth that's of greater value than experiencing Jesus. And those who've seen him face to face scream that from the rooftops. Make the one priority of your life to experience Jesus more and more. It's the secret to your life. It's the key to your happiness. In his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He says, I count all these things but rubbish in order that I may gain an experience of Jesus. That I may experience him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, that I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on. And I lay hold of that which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. Now Mark has. So he's wanting us to lay hold of it as much as we can. Lay hold of what? Experiencing Jesus. I don't regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do. Forgetting that which lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, one thing I can tell you. Mark would say, one thing I wish all of you would know, but you'll never fully get it. One thing I wish I had known in this life, but I now get it. Forget all the things that have lied behind. No matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, how old you are, or where you live, or what you have, from this point forward, you can make the one thing, and most important, that is the most important, press on to experience Jesus as much as you possibly can every day and for all of your life. Because Jesus rocks. And nothing else rocks except in the light of Jesus. Does family rock? Yeah. But only if Jesus rocks first. Is having stuff okay? It's okay. But only if Jesus is first place. There is no pleasure like the pleasure of experiencing Jesus. There is no escape like the escape of experiencing Jesus. Song of Solomon, Solomon says he's the chief among 10,000. He's the chief shepherd. He's the chief cornerstone. Jesus rocks. See, one of the things, and you know this testimony, so it's nothing new. My great privilege is having been mentally ill. It's one of the greatest gifts I've ever known. One of God's great presence to me is my mental illness that I experienced all those years ago. 33 years ago. 34 years ago. Because what I learned, not I wasn't a millionaire, but for a 23-year-old, I lived on an island, had a house on the island on stilts, right on the beach. As a 23-year-old, I was the chief of the nuclear medicine department at a private hospital. I had more money than I knew how to spend. I was elevated to a position that most people had to be in their 30s or older to get. But I could, the gift of my mental illness was is that no matter what I had, no matter what else was going on, life just didn't work. And through all that, I discovered one thing. Jesus rocks. And Jesus alone can make a sense out of a life. See, I believe that's part of what Mark wants to hear. Did Mark get that fully? Mm-mm. None of us do we? But he gets it fully now. And I can assure you, he's interceding for us that we'll get it. That we'll get it. That Jesus rocks. And life rocks when you understand that Jesus rocks. Even in the midst of pain and suffering and confusion, life works when Jesus is Lord. Well, I'm increasingly becoming one of the old guys. I'm 58. Seems really young, but I remember when I was 20-something, that seemed pretty ancient. But at 58, 33 years after giving my life to Christ, I can tell you that Mark's message is true. God loves. I've put that to the test more times than is imaginable. And I find that the older I get, the more fiercely I believe He loves me. It's an ocean that I could swim in and never reach the other side for all of eternity. But I also have come to believe that I don't have to be so smart as to understand everything anymore. That the one who loves rules. Heaven rules. I don't have to. Heaven rules. And I can rest in that. I don't have to run around all the time trying to get my way, force my way, manipulate, maneuver, push, contrive, gripe, complain. Heaven rules. And I can tell you now, as the newest Bugaraboo player of the worship team, heaven rocks. And the only shame is that as this outer man's decaying, this inner man's being renewed day by day, and all the things that I want to do physically in expression of worship to Him, I'm no longer able to do. When earlier in my life, I was too afraid to do. Now I'd like to make a fool out of myself because He made a fool out of Himself for me. Because I tell you, here's the most amazing thing. This is what makes Jesus rock more than anything else in the world. Ricky, Jesus thinks you rock. And He thinks I rock. I can't hardly roll. Foster can roll, but Jesus thinks I rock. And knowing me as well as I do, anybody who believes that about me, they rock. I can serve them all the days of my life. And I can say honestly, you know, if you live in a fallen world, you're going to experience things that hurt. But because of Christ, after all these years, life is good. Even in the most painful places, there's always been that thing deep down inside. Jesus rocks. And I can't lose Him ever. And therefore, life rocks. Livia knows that we've talked about this over the years. In some of the most painful places in my life, I would say to her, Livia, I don't know how to explain this. It feels like everything around me is falling apart. And my emotions have gone on an absolute total vacation. And it's awful. But there's something deep down inside of me. Some little guy way down there. I think it's my spirit. That's like going, yippee. Yippee. Because of Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.